HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Opinion.
The fighting between Israel and Palestine this summer has seriously threatened the food security of the Gaza Strip. 234.6 tons, or about 9.3% of the yearly fish catch, has been lost due to overfishing, unrest, and harsh restrictions. I have Leila El-Haddad on the line. Leila is a Palestinian journalist, blogger, and cookbook author who has been reporting on Gaza since 2003. Leila, considering this loss, how has the way a family accesses food in Palestine changed?
I would say it's not related simply to, you know, just this past assault, though that clearly took a very heavy toll on both the fishing industry and generally on people's livelihoods. But it's more related to the longstanding closure of Gaza and blockade and siege on Gaza and its people. And that is something that is, you know, once one understands sort of the policies underlying this all, the Israeli policies, it becomes very clear that it's something deliberate, which is to target Gaza's productive sector and economy and prevent the emergence of any kind of sustainable economy or development. And in line with that, the fishing zone has been restricted to approximately 3 nautical miles. And so just to put things in perspective, it used to be that fishermen were allowed to fish as far as 20 nautical miles into sea, and much further than that before the 90s. So it's a zone that has gradually become more and more restricted over the years. And so, again, just to put things in perspective, it's only when you get to about 9 nautical miles off of Gaza's shore that you reach this deep sea channel where that is going to be bringing in migratory fish species and larger fish and so forth. But before that 9 nautical mile point, you're going to be basically culling younger catches and threatening future populations, as you mentioned, and as fishermen's livelihood depends on this industry, they, needless to say, will have been fishing in that, where they're allowed to fish, right, in the 3 nautical mile zone. And so when I was there last June, for example, I noticed that the kinds of fish that were available at market were very small compared to just a year before that. And this is last year, so I can only imagine what it's been like now after this most recent assault. So definitely that's affected, obviously, the livelihoods of fishermen, but also because of the supply now is so limited, it's affecting, of course, the ability, the access people have to these kinds of protein, to fish, which they've relied on their entire lives. And to basically compensate, what's being done is there's inland freshwater fish farms that are breeding tilapia and so on which people have had to rely, and or on food aid or rations on which 80% of the population now relies.
How important is fish to the diet of the average family in Gaza?
Well, you know, Gaza is obviously the last Palestinian territory with access to the sea, and historically was once the main port along the Mediterranean, and so fish does form a major part of the diet, especially for the Palestinians that have lived directly on the coast or are of the heritage of the coastal peoples versus those who hail from the inland rural areas of Palestine, which may be less dependent on fish. So it definitely forms an important part of the diet. And the fact that Gaza would need inland freshwater fish farms being a coastal territory is, of course, absurd. And so it's again, this is something that over the years we've seen this part of the economy really take a very hard hit and completely unnecessarily, and it's completely, of course, deliberate. It's not like there's any rhyme or reason for restricting the fishing zone whatsoever. It's just something that's being done to basically prevent the viability of the economy and the productivity of the sector and of the fishermen.
And in the past couple of days, it's become clear that the fishermen are still not safe and that the Israelis are not necessarily honoring their ceasefire. Do you think it's going to stay that way?
I think so. What people have to realize is that we've said this throughout the assault on Gaza, is that if the underlying reason, if the underlying problem being this long-standing blockade of Gaza is not addressed, this is just going to be a temporary pause before we see another Israeli assault on Gaza. And to expect that a people's under such intense and asphyxiating siege will simply be expected to remain silent without protest whatsoever is, completely unrealistic. So definitely I think things would get worse before they get better. This is, again, this formula that has been put forth ever since the disengagement of 2005, which is that if Palestinians in Gaza's access is not guaranteed, access and movement for people and goods is not guaranteed, then definitely both the economy will collapse and there will be a humanitarian crisis. This is something that economists and analysts have said over and over again, and it still rings true today in the aftermath of this recent assault. If you can't guarantee, don't guarantee people's freedom of movement as well as the access of movement for in and out of Gaza's goods to import and export, then definitely things will continue to get worse.
Thank you for your time, Layla. This is Elizabeth Sachs reporting for Heritage Radio Network.
Heritage Radio Network is a member-supported nonprofit organization broadcasting over 30 live shows a week. To learn more and donate, visit our website or connect with us on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram for more. Thanks for listening.